Good morning. Some years ago, we had a young tyke who was in my church at Roosevelt Park Community Christian Reformed Church, located way on the other side of town, on the southwest side, Clyde Park, Chicago Drive, and Granville Avenue. And he had kind of a rough kind of life, but he was starting to get it because some people started to invest in his life. And all of a sudden, he was starting to get that Jesus loved him and that people cared about him. And then he said, I want to join your church, this church of a motley crew of people, red, yellow, black, and white, all precious in his sight. I want to be a part of you. So he said, okay, you can do this, but you will have to meet with the elders. You know that group. They kind of look like from the Muppets. So we said, you have to come on Tuesday, and you will have to sit outside while we talk. And so we sat for a little while outside, and we deliberated and talked, and then we invited him in. And he came in, and he sat around this table, this huge table, where all these white men and women and one brother. That was me. And he began to share his story of how his life wasn't exactly all peaches and cream, but he began to share about how God began to change his life. He didn't have such a great mom and never knew his father, but hanging around these Christians at Roosevelt Park began a change in him, and that he began to see that he could have a different life, and that people actually loved and accepted him. But more importantly, that Jesus loved him. And so after a little while, as always, we have to deliberate. And so we send them out into the wilderness, outside the doors, to sit while we deliberated. And then they began to talk. And they said to me, Reggie, he doesn't know question and answer one. Well, why doesn't he know the Lord's Prayer? Shouldn't he know that? Did you not work with him? And also, why does he know what gratitude means? You should have done a better job, Pastor. I was kind of taken aback by it. I was like, oh, wow, maybe I should have done a better job. I'm sorry. I felt kind of bad. Maybe I should have done a better job of bringing him up on all 52 days of the Lord's days, all 150 questions. Maybe that's a little bit where it would have been for Peter, as he was going to enter into the hornet's nest. Because he had done something wrong. He had eaten with uncircumcised men, and they were going to let him know, yo, dude, I'm sure that's in the Greek. What is wrong with you? You have done something awful, and you need to know you are going to be brought up, and we're going to let you know you didn't do things right. Now, if we were in that same room, and maybe if we were, I don't know, Christian Reformed, we would probably do the same thing. Because we want to do things in decency and good order. And exactly, we do that, and rightly so. But Peter had been changed. Peter had an interruption in his life. He saw a vision from God that had never happened this way. A vision that entered into his life that changed everything from him. All of a sudden, life was not the same again. He had to see things differently. He was given a new testimony. A testimony. Now, I know that us Christian Reformed people, we're not really big on testimonies. I know that. They're kind of a little showy, maybe a little manipulative. You can't base everything on a story, right? but it's also that we are during a time of talking about a story. A story about a little baby born in the manger, which we celebrated for almost over 2,000 years. And we are a story people, and Peter wants to tell his story, how his story changed him. Stories change us. Stories are in us. Stories transform us. How did this story transform this old fisherman who'd been with Jesus? How did his testimony take another turn? First is this. Testimonies matter. I had an old elder. His name was Bill Visser, an old World War II veteran. Bill showed up at my door my first day at Roosevelt Park Community Christian Reformed Church when I was at the parsonage. And he came with a very wonderful man who was my visitation pastor, because I had to have a visitation pastor who had to speak Dutch. I'm not lying. I'm serious, I am not lying. Because over 50 people at my church spoke Dutch as their first language. And we're in a community that is 62% Hispanic. And they call a brother. God has a wonderful sense of humor. Well, Bill and the very Reverend W.D. Burst were shoulder at my parsonage, and they said, we're going heist bazook. What did you say about my mama? Oh, I'm sorry. House bazook. What? House visitation. Please look that up in the Dutch dictionary. Bill was one of my first elders, and he showed me a lot of the ropes that was going on in terms of learning how to visit. Some years later, Bill turned 87, and he got cancer. His son Pete came to me and told me this story about Bill. Bill was laying in the bed and with his children around him, and they began to sing old hymns. You know, we sing old hymns when we want our theology to have a kind of a story to it that is familiar. And as they were singing those songs, Bill would flick his eyes just to let them know that he was there. Bill wanted to hold on. He wanted to hold on for his family because he loved them, and he wanted to have as much time as he could with them. But his son, Pete, knew that he wanted to go home. It's when he told his dad, "You want to see Jesus, don't you?" He didn't say anything until he said, "Run to Jesus. Run to Jesus." It was no later than 5 minutes later. Bill closed his eyes because he ran to Jesus. Why does that story matter? Because stories matter. Stories matter because they shape us. Stories matter because they mold us. We share them in the back of the narthex. We share them over turkey and really bad stuffing. We share them over really bad coffee and brunches. We share them in bars and in cafes. We share them in churches. And we share them because we have been wired for story. In fact, we are walking through a story right now. We're walking through a COS liturgy that's called a story. Peter was a man who knew story, and his story mattered. And maybe for a lot of us here this morning, we think a lot of our stories are just stories. Maybe our story's not very spectacular. Maybe our story isn't all that momentous. But I want to say this to you. Your story doesn't have to be extraordinary. Your story doesn't have to have all of the Marvel comic or DC comic flair to it. It simply has to be this. If you are saved by grace, here is this: you're a miracle. You see, the person to your right and your left is a walking, talking miracle. And that matters to Jesus. I don't know about you, but I want to say amen right now. That is a miracle. And that is why Peter is telling this story, because it matters. It matters to Jesus. It matters to us. It matters to those who are to come. Stories matter. And I think for a lot of us who are here today, maybe we've kind of keeping our stories to ourselves. Maybe it's for a parent who's kept the story to themselves because we've been kind of privatized to do that. And maybe because you've kept that story private, and maybe there's a child who's kind of walked away from the faith. You know they should be here, but they ain't here. And you want them here. And you've been waiting for the right time to share that story, your miracle story. Oh, I'm going to share that Thanksgiving, but you never get to it. Oh, I'm going to share it this Christmas, but you never got to it. I'm going to wait till New Year's. Never got to it. When will it be the right time? Maybe the time is now. Because your story matters. Your story is a miracle. Because you are saved by grace. You are told to remember your baptism. And that's a miracle. And they're waiting to hear it from you. Your own lips. Your own heart. Or maybe you're a grandparent. And you're probably thinking, I shouldn't be sticking my nose into my grandchildren's business. I'm 70, 80 years old. What do I have to share? A lot. And they are probably not here. And probably they have walked away from the faith. And maybe you are in the advent of waiting. Waiting for them to come back. And you are suffering in silence, waiting for the right time to share this ordinary, extraordinary story they've been waiting to hear from you. And it matters. It really matters. But they want to hear it. From you. Your story matters. It matters to them, and it matters to Jesus. Stories and testimonies matter. Secondly, testimonies about an interruption from God. And seeing things from God's perspective. I can imagine, well, I'll say it this way. The preaching professor, Tom Long, and I'm paraphrasing from his book, Testimony, says this. He says, Christians very often split the world into two worlds, us and them. And he says that we shouldn't spend our time doing that. He says we should spend our time paying attention to the most alive person that we've ever met in our lives. And I'm going to give you a clue about who that is. J-E-S-U-S. What does that spell? You know, the most alive person we have ever met in our life is Jesus. There is nobody more alive than the one who walked this world 2,000 years ago. And the last time I checked, he is very much alive. He is more than just on the pages of the Bible. He is walking and talking in the lives of all kinds of people who are sitting right here. I don't know about you, but my Jesus is alive. And that's the one of whom we celebrate this Christmas, this Advent. We wait for the alive Jesus to come alive in all of us. I can imagine what it was like for Peter as he's telling this story about his alive Jesus. He says, I was in a trance, or maybe in a really good dream. And he begins to recall this story of being in Joppa. And he's having a good time. And then all of a sudden, right through the roof, a sheet drops out of nowhere. And I'm sure it says, maybe in the Greek, there's pork chops, there's chitlins. That's for black people now. That's, and some bacon, maybe a little alligator, maybe some rattlesnake, maybe a little raven, if you really like wild stuff. And I can imagine Peter saying to himself, and maybe in a Downton Abbey kind of voice, no, my lord, I shall not eat any of this. I am Jewish. This I am kosher. I'm sure he said it this way. And three times it says, whatever I have declared clean, you shall not declare unclean. And then Peter recounts this encounter with six men who tells him the story that he was told to go with them, and he does go. But it was not until he sees them get the Holy Spirit, it is then that things get interesting. Why? It gets interesting because now salvation got democratized. Oh, Lord Jesus. It is almost as if Baptist and CRC are on the same level. Lord have mercy. Why does that get interesting? Because for a long time, in terms of Peter's story, Jews were up here, Gentiles down here. But the Spirit readjusts this story. It's now here. Oh, Lord. I hate it when grace is not fair. I love it when grace is unfair. I love it when somebody is on the bottom and I'm on the top. I love it when somebody has to jump through my hoops in order to get it. I love it when they have to follow my rules and have to do it my way. Why can't they be like Burger King? Do it my way. But here, Peter has to go through an adjustment. They got the Spirit just like he did. The most amazing thing that happens, Peter had to adjust his story to God's. God doesn't adjust his story to ours. Don't you hate it when that happens? We always have to adjust our story to the grace story because our story isn't never big enough to handle grace. I don't know about you, but I got to say amen about that. Because the last time I looked, we are all Gentiles. Well, all the Gentiles, please raise your hand. So unless you are straight up Jewish, we are all in the Gentile category. The most amazing thing that happens is that Peter had to make his story bigger to fit God's story. Brothers and sisters, if grace is ever going to get larger, if it's ever going to get inclusive, we will always have to make the adjustment to God's story of grace. It is never going to ever fit in our box. Thanks be to God. Grace is always bigger than our sin. And Lord knows we do a lot of screwing up in that area. Somebody say amen, amen. Or just say ouch. The last is this. Testimonies always have a celebration. I want to turn you back to my little church. Those elders are debating about my little friend, my little 10-year-old friend. And as they're debating, there's a gentleman there. His name is Gerard. Gerard doesn't say much. Wiry, 60-year-old man, Vietnam veteran. He's sitting there quietly, and he always seems to raise his hand. I don't know why he raises his hand. And he speaks. And he says it this way. He says, if any of you have ever graduated from the Jesus School of Discipleship, please raise your hand. How many hands do you think went up? Not many. Because brothers and sisters, there are no magna cum laudes, no summa cum laude, no cum laude. Nobody gets a degree in the Jesus School of Discipleship. None of us will ever graduate. The only words that we want to hear are this: well done, my good and faithful servant. We invite him back in. We wasn't sure if he was still there because we had been debating for at least a couple hours and he was out there in the wilderness. We invite him back in and we said to him, we invite you to join with all the rights and honors and privilege this motley crew of sinners saved by grace. We invite you to be a part of the Roosevelt Park Community Christian Reformed Church. Do you accept? And with the biggest smile on his face, he said, yes, I do. I had never seen white men and women cry so much. It was a mess. And we didn't have enough handkerchiefs and napkins, and it was a mess. But it was a glorious mess. At the end, when Peter told his story with all the adjustments, when they no longer had any objections, they celebrated. What if we decide that when grace becomes larger than us, what the first thing that we do is we celebrate because God is a God of joy. And if God is a God of joy, why not us be the first ones to take him up on it? Besides, is this not the time of joy? What if COS becomes the joyous place on the face of the earth? I challenge you. That's the story. And as you go and share that story of God's amazing grace and the miracle that's in you, that Christ continues to do, God continues to add to this amazing story one life at a time. Amen.